Hey, is my subscription ready?
Hey, this is Dr. Mike Jones. I'm calling in prescription for a patient. Thank you. Hey, I need about 2,000 bottles of baby oil. You guys have that in stock?
Hey, I know you guys are about to close. Please, don't close the pharmacy. Come right there. I'm at the light. I'm like 15 minutes away.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
I'm almost there. I'm like 2 minutes away. I'm like 1 minute away. I'm 30 seconds away. Just don't close the pharmacy. I'm almost there.
Because I can't stop. And I won't stop.
Looks like I'm not going to make it today. I'll try again tomorrow.
Main menu. To listen to your messages, press 1.
This is the OD Podcast.
Episode 3.
I'm your host, Fit Pharmacist. We're back. Episode 3. Thank you for joining us today. Today we have a special guest, Amosede Aransai. Same last name because she's my sister, actually. So she's also attorney at law. Practice in Houston, Texas at a law firm, OVO, Aransai and Associates. No relation to Drake and those accusations. So go ahead and introduce yourself however you want to be introduced, and just go over and do what you got to do.
OVO, Aransai and Associates, PLLC, my law firm. We help and specialize in criminal law, family law, personal injury, auto accidents, work injuries, slip and falls, and immigration. Family law too, some divorces if you need one.
Wow. So if you need any of those services, go ahead and hit her up. I will put the all the contacts in the description. So if I slip and fall in like a big, you know, it's like a big chain, and you could get me like $10 million easily?
Depends on your injury, sir.
Okay, cool. This episode is brought to you by Nobody. Hold up. We got a sponsor, y'all. Lego. This episode of OD Podcast is brought to you by Levity. Safely access GLP-1s and save 80% of the cost. Remember to use our discount code ODPOD50 to get your first order for $175, usually a $225 value. Transform your life with Levity. In OD Podcast, we like to have guests on our show with all walks of life. And this is one walk of life that we want to talk about drugs and how it pertains to law and legal activities and how you can avoid some legal drama or avoid legal troubles in your life. So I get this question a lot, especially as a pharmacist, counseling patients on prescription drugs, control medications, medications that cause sedation, patients that accidentally overdose on medication while also behind the wheel driving. What is the difference between DUI and DWI?
Well, a DWI pertains to individuals who are 21 and above who have been arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated. DUI is for individuals under the age of 21 who were also charged or arrested for that. So it's particularly based on your age.
So if someone got a prescription drug from the pharmacy, let's say they had Norco's or something, what would that fall under?
Well, if you have it in your system, that's different. You have to have had possession of the actual drug. So let's say you had someone else's prescription and then you were driving and then you were under the influence. So you would still be charged with DWI because it's still an intoxication. So it's still a controlled substance. If you're found with possession of a controlled substance, that's a felony. Then you'll be charged with, you know, possession of a controlled substance. And that's a completely different case. So it's not going to be based on what's in your system. It's going to be based on the fact that you have possession of the actual drug, especially if it's a drug that's not your prescription or a drug that you bought off the street. So I practice law in Texas. So that means I'm licensed specifically only in Texas. So that means that my practice only intakes Texas law. So since we're in the field of discussion talking about criminal law, pertaining to drinking and drug offenses, our laws are completely different from other state laws. Mississippi, Alabama, New York, they all have different implementations of their laws. What is considered class B? What is considered class A? What is considered a felony? So there's different, you know, levels to it when it comes to how laws are implemented in different states.
Just for my listeners, just make sure if you do have any legal troubles, always get legal advice from a licensed attorney in your state. Everything that we're talking about in this discussion is based on Texas law. Just to preference this conversation. If I were to give someone a prescription drug, let's say they're taking Norcos or something and they're driving crazy. If it's not their prescription, then they could be charged with possession, correct?
Correct. Any possession of drugs in Texas, at least the least serious offense is a state jail felony. So that can result in over 180 days to almost 2 years in state jail facilities here in Texas. So any possession of drugs, depending on the ounce amount or the size amount, majority of the time, it is a felony in the state of Texas. So you're not going to get charged for taking a medication that was prescribed to you because, you know, you're a pharmacist. You know what happens with your body. But if you have possession of a drug that does not belong to you or you bought off the street and you're stopped by a police officer with probable cause and they find it on you, or you admit that you have it and it doesn't belong to you, you're going to jail that night.
Pro tip, do not take prescription drugs if it was not written for you. This can cause a lot of legal problems. We always counsel patients, if you're taking an opioid or a sedating medication, use caution if you're going to drive. I advise patients to not drive if they're going to be under any type of sedating prescription medication. You know your body. If you're not able to function and drive, I advise you not to do that. So if a patient was driving under, I guess, under the influence, if that's correct, with a prescription drug that is theirs, would they be in trouble for that? Assuming if they're like swerving, or, you know, driving crazy.
That's a good question. But what I do know about those specifically is if you cause harm while being under the influence of the drugs that were prescribed to you and you took them recklessly and you endangered somebody, that's when it becomes a criminal matter and you can go after that person civilly and criminally. So that also kind of goes back to my personal injury background. So I think that mostly depends on whether you actually cause harm to somebody. Because if you're taking your prescriptions correctly and it just happens to affect you, you can't be criminalized for that.
Okay,
it only becomes an issue when you're taking it incorrectly and you're not doing it on the advisory of your doctor.
I have patients that are on chronic opioid medications. And a lot of them, they can function with the medication. But there's always the opioid naive patients that are just starting a prescription drug. They're not sure how their body will react to the medication. So I always tell them, just kind of see how your body, take it during the day first, see how your body reacts to it, and see if you're able to function or drive with the medication in your system. We don't want anybody to get into accidents. You know, a lot of things are avoidable. I remember Tiger Woods had an incident when he crashed into a tree or something. He said he was under the influence of a pain medication or something like that. So
I don't remember him being criminalized for that. He wasn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think he hurt anybody. It was just himself that he crashed into a tree or something. So, but he did say that he was under the influence. He was taking his pain medications for his back.
Now, if he had injured somebody while taking it incorrectly, as we stated earlier, then, you know, we're looking at his car insurance and see what he has to, or not just his car insurance. Tiger Woods isn't he a billionaire? They're coming after him personally.
Big question. Drop the bomb, guys. Number one, I don't advise anybody to drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. You shouldn't be drinking and driving. If you are drinking, take an Uber, get a designated driver, just do all those things. But this is just for, you know, informational purposes, of course. So if you are under the influence of alcohol, drugs, whatever, and you get pulled over by police, what are you supposed to do?
Let's first look at the most important things. First of all, when the police pulls you over, make sure that they're following due diligence. Your Fourth Amendment right, they have to have probable cause to stop you. So if it's a traffic stop, if you are driving, you're speeding, you pass the red light, you pass the stoplight, they have a right to stop you. If they stop you and they smell alcohol in your breath, your eyes are glossy, you know, you're slurring your words, then they have a reasonable opportunity to pull you out of your car and do a sobriety test on you, take a breathalyzer on you, or also ask you if you want to do a blood alcohol concentration blood test. You have a right to say, no, I don't want to do any of those things. You have a right to say that. However, a police officer will get a blood search warrant on you. They will get a blood alcohol content search warrant on you to determine whether you are intoxicated. And the Texas intoxicated level is 0.08%.
Wait, so the 0.08. Well, that's for the breathalyzer, all right?
That's for the breathalyzer and the blood. So okay. if it's 0.08% or higher when you are behind the wheel, an enforcement officer does have a right to pull you over at the scene at any sort or in at an accident, take your breathalyzer test. And if it's above that number that I stated, you may be arrested, but more than likely you will be arrested.
But what if I don't want to take the breathalyzer test?
You don't have to take the breathalyzer test. You do have a right to refuse a breathalyzer. But just know that Texas Department of Public Safety or the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles will suspend your license for the first 90 days or more. So that's another thing. And you have to probably try to get something called ALR request within 15 days of your arrest. But that's a different story for another time. So even if you refuse breath, Harris County or whatever county that you're arrested in within the Texas can get a blood search warrant, as I stated earlier. And with that blood search warrant, they can test your blood and determine whether you are above the 0.08 BAC amounts to actually, you know, certify your arrest.
And a BAC amount, that's blood alcohol concentration, correct?
Concentration, that's okay. Correct.
And that's 0.08.
Now, don't get me wrong. I've had cases where someone was 0.08 and I was able to get their case dismissed. It just really depends on how good your attorney is and what you can actually, you know, argue. But the first step, you guys, is they have to have reason to pull you over. If the police does not have a reason to pull you over and you even admit it to his face that, yeah, I was drinking. Yeah, look at all the beer cans in my car. If the actual stop, the actual initial stop was improper and unjust and violation of your Fourth Amendment right, the case gets tossed away. It gets tossed. So those are things you should also look out for. It's always good to know your rights.
Let's say that you refuse the breathalyzer. You don't want to do the breathalyzer. Does that mean you'll get arrested?
You can still get arrested because initially, in the initial stop, after the traffic stop, they smelled alcohol on your breath. Your eyes were glossy. You're slurring your words. Those are probable cause and indication to get a search warrant, a blood search warrant, to determine whether you are intoxicated, even if you do refuse a breathalyzer, even if you refuse a field sobriety test.
They don't do the blood test on site, right? They will probably do that somewhere else.
They're going to take you to the precinct. They're going to get a magistrate to approve a search warrant to test your blood to determine whether you actually were under the influence. If your BAC is under 0.08%, then you are free to go.
Let's say the person says, okay, I don't want to do a breathalyzer. I'll get arrested. I'll just take me to jail and let me try to wait it out and see if I could just, you know, I guess, correct my alcohol level by drinking a lot of water. If I'm in jail, I'll drink a lot of water and maybe I'll just, you know, flush out my system and I'll get better. How soon would the blood test be approved if you deny the breathalyzer on site?
You can get a search warrant for blood within the hour.
Oh, really? That fast?
Within a couple of hours, yes. You can get a search warrant for a blood test.
You mentioned the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment. Whichever one applies to this, talk about how that applies to the situation and how you can use the Fourth or Fifth Amendment to protect yourself.
The Fourth Amendment is more of a warrant clause and also determines probable cause as well. So like I stated earlier, there has to be a reason for the stop. There has to be a sufficient evidence to and probable cause to stop you first or finding any other possible crimes connected to the stop. That's the first thing. But most of the time, you know, when you get stopped and you're asking the police officer, why did you stop me? Da 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 da, et cetera. And you're not happy with the stop and you want to fight it right there and then. I always advise people, fight it in court. Because there's going to be an attorney out there who's going to find something. They're going to find evidence of a violation of your Fourth Amendment right. And with the violation of your Fourth Amendment right, that would then also help you with anything else that was found after the violation of the Fourth Amendment right. If there is a violation of the Fourth Amendment right, it excludes any other criminal proceedings under the exclusionary rule with some exceptions. So that's just one thing that you need to understand. So any evidence obtained after the violation of the Fourth Amendment right is excluded, no matter what you said. You could have said, yeah, I drank. Yeah, I almost hit somebody. I had 7 beers. I'm a little drunk. It doesn't matter. If the stop was a violation of your Fourth Amendment right, anything else will be excluded from any criminal proceeding under the exclusionary rule.
Okay, so what about the Fifth Amendment?
The Fifth Amendment right is just self-incrimination. So don't run your mouth. I'm sure anytime you talk to an attorney, they always tell you to keep your mouth shut. Be quiet. Anything that you say can be used against you in a court of law. Anything you say.
Yeah, that's what they said on Law and Order. But keep going.
That's correct. So that's just the rule. So the best thing to do is keep your mouth shut. If they ask you, have you been drinking? You know, I'm not answering any of that. You don't have to say anything at all, because the criminal defense attorney is going to come in there and make sure that everything is taken care of. Your Fifth Amendment right means that you can also request an attorney. So not only does the Fifth Amendment right also implies that you should remain silent, it also includes the right to request an attorney to be present for any questioning. So those are the most important. I think those are two important amendments, the Fourth and Fifth, pertaining to any kind of criminality.
So if I get pulled over by the police, do I have to tell them, hey, I plead the Fifth, like they do on TV? Do I have to say, hey, I plead the Fifth? Or do I just be quiet and just look at their eyes and stare at them?
You know that you are probably going to say something that's going to incriminate you. And by the way, I just want to let you know, in Texas, the Miranda rights are not required to be stated at the presence of your arrest. But
wait,
you
really?
Do have
hold
a right
on,
wait, to
wait, remain. Hold on. What? Are you saying that they don't have to read you your rights when you get arrested?
Yes.
Wow.
In Texas.
That's good to know.
In Texas, police are not required to read any person their Miranda rights in every situation.
It depends on the situation, though.
Based on what you said earlier pertaining to I can just remain silent in the vehicle. If you know you may say something that might, you know, incriminate you, you do have a right to invoke, you know, your fifth and Sixth Amendment right. You have a right to remain silent until after I speak to my attorney. And you have to remain silent. Now, if you start initiating a conversation again with the police officer or initiating a conversation with the investigator, you have now terminated that Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, because you have now initiated a conversation that might actually incriminate you. So your Fifth Amendment right doesn't just stop once you say, I'm pleading Fifth, or I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to be quiet. You have to remain silent. And then you also have to say, I would like to speak to my attorney. I would like a court-appointed attorney to represent me. After that, that's when the police or the investigator has to stop all questioning. But if you just say, I plead the Fifth, I don't want to say anything anymore, and then the cops went away and they came back and brought you some soda, and you say, you know what, I want to say something, that goes away as soon as you open your mouth again and initiate the conversation. Initiate confession. That goes away.
Wow. That's very important stuff. I feel like a lot of people don't know that. Back to the breathalyzer conversation. If you don't know, there are some false positives associated with taking a breathalyzer. Things like cough and cold medications, like NyQuil, Vicks, things containing alcohol, like mouthwashes, oral gels.
Correct.
Even like antihistamines, antidepressants, cough suppressants. Those things can bring up false positive results on a breathalyzer. You would have to have high amounts of this for you to have a 0.08 blood alcohol level.
I've had clients who are on bond, and when you're on bond while your case is still pending, you have to not drink alcohol. Sometimes you have to have an interlock on your vehicle, or you have to carry around a breathalyzer that randomly you have to blow into to determine that you're not drinking during your bond. Now, I've had clients who will go up to 0.01 or 0.02, maybe because they use Listerine. But if it's going to 0.04, 0.05, that's when you're violating your bond. And that's when they will roll pretrial individuals and the judge and the prosecutors are going to roll their eyes and say, that's alcohol. That's not a cough drop. That's not Listerine. No one is gulping down Listerine and drinking it on that level. So, you know, it really just depends on your you know, on your lawyer as well, and how they're also able to defend you.
And then side note, guys, please don't drink Listerine. Listerine's a mouthwash.
Please don't.
You rinse it and gargle and spit. You don't drink Listerine or any other of these mouthwashes.
The more you know.
In regards to all these OTC medications, always take them as needed. Don't OD on these medications. I know this is called OD podcast,
but
we don't want you to OD on these medications. Okay, guys? So use your discretion when you're taking these medications. Use your discretion when you are going to drive. If you're going to be under these medications, know your body. Know how you react to these medications. Know how you feel. And if you're not sure about a medication that you're taking, take it at first in the day. See how you feel before you get behind the wheel. We want you guys to be safe out there, so we don't need any accidents. Okay, so
Walter, real quick, I just want to go backtrack real quick. I know I was talking about how you should be quiet when you're at a traffic stop. Technically, no. You know, an individual only can invoke a Fifth Amendment when communication is being compelled, when they're being arrested or possibly detained. Or possibly being subpoenaed for any legal process. So I'm not saying that you should be stopped at a traffic stop and they say, have you been drinking, and you keep your mouth shut. The best thing to do is just not to admit it. Don't say, yes, I've been drinking. Don't admit anything. Don't say anything. I'm not going to answer that question, officer. It's better to say you're not going to answer it than lying and saying no, or admitting and saying yes. The Fifth Amendment only becomes proper when you're being compelled to say something, when you've been detained or when you've been arrested or when you're in custody or when the communication is being testimonial. So I just wanted to backtrack and say that.
That's definitely good information.
You're welcome.
We were talking about the breathalyzer with the false positives. If it's a false positive, they will also do a blood test to check for alcohol levels to confirm the breathalyzer.
Sometimes there's both. Sometimes there is not both. Sometimes the breathalyzer is sufficient enough according to the prosecution, is sufficient enough for arrest. But a really good attorney can also determine that maybe that specific breathalyzer wasn't used properly. There's a lot of new police officers that are out right now who are still learning the process, that's probably not doing it correctly, or even the field sobriety tests are not doing that correctly. So there's things that can actually be skewed. If the breathalyzer says that you are intoxicated, they can arrest you on the spot. But some police officers will also get a blood test as well. If you consent to a blood test, great. If you don't, they can always get a search warrant to get a blood test as well.
Great. That's great information. Thank you for letting us know that. If you do have any legal troubles, always consult with a licensed attorney. Okay, sister.
If you have anything else you want to say, sign us out.
I just want everyone to be safe out there. You know, the holiday season is around the corner. November, Christmas. I do get a lot of DWI cases during the holidays. I do get a lot of more personal injury auto accidents during the holidays. And of course, I would never encourage you to get into an auto accident or get injured, or encourage you to, you know, get a DWI. But if you ever do, or know anyone who has, I guess I am plugging a little bit there, low key, hit me up. But overall, that's when I want to be safe this holiday season. And thank you, Walter, or Fit Pharmacist, Dr. Walter, for inviting me on. Appreciate it.
And also, New Year's is coming too. So that's a big, that's a big time for you.
Definitely. When 2025 hits, that's when people start calling the line for sure.
So know your rights, know how to protect yourself, and always use caution. This is why we always counsel our patients on these medications. We want to make sure that you're protected and that we are doing the right thing. So thanks for listening. This is the third episode of OD Podcast. Peace.
Hey, guys.